You're listening to a download from North Sound 2. Listen again.
Well, good morning. Welcome to the North Sound 2 Talking. After 2 weeks off, where the referendum very much took things, over the next 60 minutes, we will discuss the local stories that matter this week, the issues that are important to you, and as ever, anything can happen before midday. What we're looking for is you to take the opportunity to voice your opinions on air to the listeners across the northeast of Scotland. Has something happened that has left you speechless? Has something happened? This has been the week of things happening in Aberdeen. Has something annoyed you, upset you, or made you angry? Possibly falls into that category as well. Maybe you have something you want to celebrate, or you have some good news to share. Well, we have got some issues that we think might just interest you. This week, so much has happened. For example, the Union Terrace Gardens has happened. The West Peripheral has happened. We have getting potholes cured. There's been good news down at Seaton. There's also been good news in the music world. Let's take the peripheral route for a start. Is this the end of the road for the long-running campaign against the Aberdeen bypass? It's been more than 2 years since ministers gave the red light to the AWPR, and earlier this week, three top judges at the Court of Session threw out an appeal by campaigners Road Sets over an earlier ruling. Transport Minister Keith Brown is happy with the result.
I'm very pleased that the decision of the court appears to be, as was the case with the previous court decision, beneficial to the government. It endorses the decision that we've taken, and I'm very hopeful we can crack on and build this road. I hope that the individuals who have opposed it will accept the judgment of the court, both this time, the previous time, and also the decision of the public inquiry and the decision of Parliament. People in the North East and the overwhelming majority want to see this road built, and we want to build it.
In the written judgment, Road Sense are being urged to take the case, not to take the case to the Supreme Court in London, which is their choice. It looks unlikely they will get legal aid this time, but Road Sense Chair William Walton fears money wouldn't be the main stumbling block.
I think the issue this time is really, first and foremost, is how good is the legal argument. If the legal argument isn't there, then the money issue is irrelevant. Having said that, the way the courts are going at the moment with protected expense orders, I don't think receiving a protected expense order would be a hurdle.
Currently, £114 million has already been spent on preparations for the AWPR, and that is just in preparations, and nothing's happened. So now, hopefully, finally, work on the road itself can get underway, and this long-standing thing will become a reality. As for realities, Union Terrace Gardens, well, the referendum happened. It's official. Aberdeen has backed the City Garden project. Now, the public have backed the City Garden granite web design in a public referendum. 52.5% of the 89,000 who voted supported the revamp of Union Terrace Gardens in the city centre. Sir Ian Wood is pledging at least £50 million from his fortune towards it.
But please, for Aberdeen, there are no individual winners and losers in a referendum. I think there's a clear winner, and I think the winner are the citizens of Aberdeen and the future generations who are going to get, I believe, huge benefit from the project that's now obviously moving into a position where it can begin to go ahead. I think it was a very good turnout. I mean, clearly the vote, 52.5%, 47.5%, is a majority, but it's not decisive. So all that says is that we have a very significant job to do to try and ensure that the pluses, the real pluses for this, people better understand them. But probably more importantly, that we tackle the concerns. You know, can we afford it? Can Aberdeen actually do it? And the answer, my firm conviction is that we absolutely can afford it. I think the estimates are realistic. I think the TIF business plan is absolutely realistic. I think we'll manage to handle it. I think the council, we've got world class architects. We've got a very good design team, so I think we'll manage to deliver it.
There you go, Sir Ian Wood, who has pledged at least £50 million, talking about the fact that the garden is going ahead. First Minister Alex Salmond, he says it's exciting times for Aberdeen.
I think it's a great result. I think it's a positive vote for the future of this city. I think, however, it's also an important process. I mean, I think the turnout was fantastic. I mean, you know, that 52% or so people actually turned out to vote. That's a great turnout. It shows that tens of thousands of people in Aberdeen care about the future of the city. It was a good campaign, a strong campaign, robust things said, but it was a fair campaign. And now the result's been determined that everybody should get together and make sure this city grasps the opportunity it's got and take forward that vision of the future.
As in all things, a city councillor, Jennifer Stewart, has a concern.
Well, it's democracy in action, but I have to say I have a heavy heart. That's how I feel right now. I'm concerned for the gardens and for the heritage and for the city. And my first impression really is that 4,000 people is not sufficient of a majority to be going ahead with such a project that will affect the whole city. Not just people now, when I'm long dead and gone, this is something very much for the future. I would have felt more comfortable if there had been a huge swell of public support in favour of what's being proposed, but there hasn't. Yes, they've won it, but not by such a big majority after all.
Yeah.
There you go, Jennifer Stewart, and just for those who are concerned, she has no intention of popping her clogs. She's still a young lady, and she's got a fair time in front of her. So, the week has progressed. We have two major projects in the city of Aberdeen. It's an awesome two talking, and we are ready to take your calls. You can email us, you can tweet us or text us. Gary is here on the emails and the tweets, so you can call us at 01224. No, it's Grant. Sorry.
That's great. You can call me Gary if you want. That's fine.
No, it'll just confuse me. 01224 40 10 35. I'm trying to think who Gary is, but never mind. Text us on 61025. Prefix your text message with Kami, and you can email Kami at northsound2.com, or you can tweet Kami 1035. Just goes to show. We've been off for a week and I've forgotten half the names of the people. Anyway, John, how are you?
I'm okay, Kami. Yourself?
I'm well, apart from memory lapse and, right. And personnel, I'm okay.
I know the feeling.
All right. What's your thoughts, Jump?
Right, well, it's just the Union Terrace Gardens thing again. I've spoken about it before, but I just heard your rerunner, Dalek Salmon, was saying about the process being fair and democratic and a shining example of democracy. Well, it was anything but that. Because just for instance, in one thing, I couldn't turn on the radio the last 2 or 3 weeks and listen to North Sound without somebody telling me vote for the City Garden project.
Mm-hmm.
I never heard one advert on the radio. I heard one or two wee bits.
Yeah.
But nothing really saying why I should vote against it. And despite all this, despite the absolute blizzard of all this stuff coming from Salmond and just about everybody else that you can think of, there's still almost 50% of us had the sense to vote against the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it wasn't a democracy. It was a totally biased consultation, and it doesn't really have any relevance. But unfortunately, it's not a shining light of democracy. It means that it's anti-democracy, the whole thing.
Well, I think, John, what you're saying is there was two very different campaigns, the point is they were putting their opinions over in a radio media, part of the thing we work for. Now, there are various ways that people can put their opinions over when they run campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
And there is, there's no secret how you can do it. You can get a PR company to do it, or you can sit and do it yourself, you know? And,
yes, I know.
It is used as a professional tool. It doesn't affect the democracy thing. It's just a part of the tool in order to give, for the two groups to gain votes.
Yes, I know, but my point about this is that the people that are driving this thing have got a lot of money and they were able to pay for other radio advertising.
Yes.
Now, if this had been a government election, a normal circumstance, a government election, there would have been equal radio time, TV time and everything devoted to it. But in this case, they didn't. So it's not really...
I take your point on that. I take your point on that. But but just because the kitties were maybe different, the attitude was different, the way of going forward was different, doesn't mean to say it's not democratic, because the referendum was taken place in a vote and it was voted in a proper way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know? But having said that, I mean, it has been voted for, and even Sir Ian Wood has said, there are now challenges to be met and challenges to be taken forward, and if it is going to happen, it has to happen in an orderly and controlled manner. And I mean, I've made no secret of the fact that if it does happen, it's got to be started, it's got to be finished, and it's got to be maintained.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think this is the way forward as well. And I mean, out and about speaking to people, there are people who share the concerns, and Jennifer Stewart concerns about the fact that this is not something for you and me. You know,
I know, that's right.
This is something for the future. This is something to look ahead at. Some people are saying, "Oh, we're losing our heritage," but we are creating a heritage for the future. And you know, change is change, and there's always good comes out of change as long as the good is looked for. You know, but having said that, there are, as you have said, it was, I think, a 4,000 majority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not a lot of numbers, I would agree, but still, the vote was done, the thing was carried out in an orderly manner, and it was achieved, you know?
Well, there's nothing we can do about it now. It's obviously going to happen, but I'm quite disappointed at the way it went, and it was a bit lopsided, the whole thing. That was my concern.
No, but I take your point, and a valid point put forward. What do you think of the peripheral route situation?
I suppose we obviously do need some improvement in the road situation, but my one concern about it was going back a wee bit and just to sort of encapsulate it once. Alex Salmond came on once and said that William Walton was in course to be the most hated person in Scotland. That was a terrible thing to say. The man isn't objecting to the route. The man and his organisation are only objecting to the need for a peripheral route. He was only objecting about the certain legal aspects as the Transport Minister at that time. He overrode certain things. Apparently, I don't care any exact details of it.
But
that was the thing. We probably do need it. But the man, I admire him for sticking to these principles, actually. But we probably do need a road. There's no question about that.
Well, yes, I agree. And I mean, everybody's allowed to stick their principles. Principles are what it's all about, you know. And, and really, you know, the only thing I would say is it now seems that the courts are advising him, look, it's gone as far as it's gone, and he has taken his case and he has put it forward and he's stuck. You're right, he has stuck to what he said.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And
it's every person's right to do that, and he's taken his right, and that's it.
He probably is. I mean, him and his organisation probably are in a minority. But I do admire him for sticking these principles in that case.
I think that's fair, but I do agree with what you alluded to as well. If we get into the situation where this peripheral route goes around Aberdeen, that'll do a lot of good just for the whole transport thing, yeah?
I think it will. We obviously need it. I mean, it's not often I drive through there in Russia, but it's pretty horrendous, okay?
Yeah, it's... Yeah, it is, you know, but I don't think the route is going to cure rush hour in the city centre, but it might allow people, the planners, to push it a different way, you know?
That could be a advantage, sorry.
Mind you, it is, you know, I have a real problem with numbers when it gets to £114 million has been spent already in preparation. That's a heap of money, man, isn't it?
It's a lot of money, I know.
That's a heap of money. John, listen, thanks very much for coming on. It's much appreciated. All the best to you now.
You as well.
There we go. Now, another item that has just popped up at this is designer dogs. Grant has absolutely no idea what we're going to talk about with designer dogs, but we're going to do it after the break.
North Sound 2. Listen again.
Hey, on the phone lines, Edwina, how are?
Hello. How are you?
We're intrigued.
Intrigued, well. I'd like to speak about these designer dogs that people are breeding nowadays. They're crossing two breeds that don't normally cross. And they're calling them designer dogs. And they're charging about £500 upwards for them in the evening papers.
What?
Mm-hmm. Now, if you...
Hold on. Evening papers, right? Hold on now. I don't understand. I mean... I have to say, I come from a working dog family. It was spaniels and labs and this sort of thing. Now,
well, they're crossing like a Labrador and a poodle, and they're calling it a Labradoodle.
A Labradoodle. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, if you cross two breeds like that, you get a mongrel. You don't get a designer dog. Whether they're doing it artificially or by natural means, I don't know. But
well,
you cross these two dogs, it's a mongrel you're getting. Well, and you can get a mongrel from the cat and dog home for next to nothing.
Well, my son won't appreciate me saying this, but he had a dog, and his dog was his pride and joy for many, many years before she passed away. And she was definitely, as my uncle would call, a Heinz.
Mm-hmm. Just yeah, a Heinz. Well, yes, but that's done naturally. The two dogs have presumably got together and did what yeah, was to be just, done. That was done naturally.
Yeah, but just as I say that, but you know.
Mm-hmm. But he didn't pay £500 for it, did he?
Oh, no, he didn't.
Exactly. This is the thing I'm getting at. Okay. They're crossing them. And say you get a Labradoodle and then you cross it with an Alsatian, you get a Labradoodle-Satian or something. You go on and on like this, you're going to end up with dogs with deformities.
Well, yes, because I know that. Mm-hmm. If you overbreed dogs, mm-hmm. now I'm not 100% convinced, I'm sure about this, but if you overbreed dogs, I mean, you can, you know, get beautiful show dogs, but they have weaknesses in their, mm-hmm. in, I mean, I know Alsatians, my brother's had two Alsatians and they have weaknesses in mm-hmm. their hindquarters.
That's just normal. That's without being interbred with okay. various other dogs.
So what other dogs are designer dogs? Are you talking about the little things you find in people's handbags?
Oh, no, this is real dogs.
Okay.
Dogs are more like living dogs. Oh, I see you mean that. Like, no, they're getting like a Labradoodle.
Okay.
A Labrador and a poodle.
Okay.
A Labradoodle. And they're getting some Sprockers or something, which is a spaniel and a cocker and all these sort of things. And they're charging £500 upwards for them.
Sakes. Are you a dog person?
No, not.
Not
no,
really, no,
I'm
but this is.
Scared of dogs.
Well, but no, but.
I got a big fright when I was a kid, and I've never been scared of dogs since.
But this is something
mm-hmm.
that's just picked you up.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
It just annoys me.
I wonder if the people.
If they're charging all that
yes.
money.
I wonder if the people from the dogs charities or some of the breeders are listening,
mm-hmm.
because
well,
I would.
I'm surprised they're not.
No, I would welcome.
Up in arms about it.
Yes, I would welcome a call on that, because mm-hmm. surely if people are breeding these dogs to give what you call the designer dogs, mm-hmm. that's not doing much for the actual breed, is it?
No, that's exactly what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You know,
you're
something
going to keep interbreeding and interbreeding. You're going to end up with the right kind, 57 varieties.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, not only will that have physical differences, I mean, you could get dogs that are just not very mentally stable at
well,
all, you know,
it.
In this day and age.
You could get all these different. You could get a dog with two heads or something, maybe, I don't really know, but you could end up with something like that, I would imagine.
Gee whiz.
Mm-hmm. So if any of these breeders are listening, maybe
yes.
they could come on and explain the thing.
It would be interesting to know, because mm-hmm. I'm not 100% convinced. I mean, I know the one thing that I got myself in hot water many years ago was I dared to suggest that really a little fluffy dog shouldn't be pink.
Oh, no, that's another thing. They dye them. And
they dye this little dog
little chihuahua thing or something.
Pink, mm-hmm. yes. And really, dogs...
That's just like a fashion accessory that they are getting.
Well, yeah. yes, and mm-hmm. there's people that carry these dogs in their handbags
mm-hmm.
and their little mini little
yeah, that's
diddy
right.
things.
Uh-huh. They're just using that as a fashion accessory.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It always,
oh, well, we'll see what people can
well,
come up
we'll
with
see,
now.
Yes, because mm-hmm. if people have a say in that, they're more than welcome to contribute today. We'll see if anything comes up in the text from Grant later on. Edwina, thank you very
okay,
much for
fine.
That.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And there you go. 01224-401035. Designer dogs. As I say, the Dogs Charity guys, we've done some work for them, so maybe they would care to just give me a shout and bring me up to date on this designer dog things. And Labradoodles. What's it?
I have no idea.
Labradoodle. And then a Labradoodle cross with an Alsatian is a Labradoodle-Satian. You know this, we could have great fun with this.
It almost sounds made up.
Well, it... maybe it's... But I do know there's Labradoodle things, but I don't know anything else about that.
Funny you should mention that, actually. There's a text in from Scott on the text line. Agrees with the diner dogs at the collar that was on. It's borderline yep. animal cruelty, which...
Well, I suppose you've got says in that, yes, because... I suppose... Oh, yeah, how do we do this on a Sunday? Little dogs, big dogs. You know where I'm going? Yeah, you know. I'm not sure of him. Anyway, if you've got a say in that, as Grant is, he's on the text. Have you got any more texts?
There's quite a few, actually. Marion in Dyce says, great news, we've got a decision on Union Terrace Gardens. Let's move on now, please. And
uh-huh.
One more from Angie, who... great to have you back, Cammy.
Oh, thank you.
And when will we have a final decision on the Western Peripheral Route?
Well, it would seem to be that we're just about there. It would seem to be we're just about there because... I'm going to stick my neck in the line here. I think it's got the green light to go ahead, because I think Road Sense have been advised by the judges not or been urged, you can't say advised, I don't suppose, they've been urged not to take the case to the Supreme Court in London, which is their right. But it's one of those things where I think that if the Road Sense decide not to take it to the court in London, and William Walton alluded it, you know, he has to look at the legal argument, and if he decides not to do that, I think it would get the green light to go ahead. So that's, you know, around about, you know, in 1 week, there's two things, big decisions being made for Aberdeen. Yeah. Anything else?
That's it for the moment, but keep your texts coming in, we'll get them read out.
Yes, text us on 61025, prefix your text message with Cammy, or you can call 01224 401035, or you can tweet us in Cammy1035, and email, of course, Cammy@nosound2.com. And we have been away for a couple of weeks, so maybe people have forgotten where to find us, but we're still here, and we're ready for your calls. We've spoken about the designer dogs, which I'm now intrigued about, so I would really like someone to come in and give us a little bit of information on this designer dogs, because I'm afraid to say designer dogs are not my thing. I'm just not 100%... into designer dogs. I prefer working dogs, just as a scenario, and we'll see what we can do with that. After the break, we'll give you some good news.
North Sound 2. Listen again.
Good morning. It's only about 11:30 on the talk-in. And, oh dear, we've started some of the designer dogs. Of course, you're more than welcome to give me a call at 1224 401035. Give me your opinions and anything you like. The Western Peripheral Route, you can do the Union Terrace Gardens. Or we've got into designer dogs. Now, Rick's on the phone. I think he's been there for a wee minute. Will we do him first? Yeah. Hey, Rick, how are you doing?
Good morning, Your Lordship. How are you?
You know something? I'm okay. no, I'm chuckling away here, but you're on Union Terrace Gardens and the dogs, yeah?
Yes, indeed.
Which one do you want to go first for?
Right, we'll go designer dogs.
Go on.
Right, as a doggy person myself,
mm-hmm.
And I'm not too experienced on dogs.
Yeah.
This Labradoodle thing, yeah, like your last caller. It's horrendous that people are charging like £500 for that particular dog. Now, my uncle, he's got a Russian Borzoi.
Uh-huh.
What, now, there's only one in Scotland, and they came from Russia, and apparently they were used for hunting wolves.
That's right, yeah.
Now, his dog, Luca, is a show dog, so...
Yes, yeah. I've seen the dog. I saw it up at the dog's show, and I mean, it's like a small Shetland pony. Honestly, it is. It's a very sleek animal as well.
Very, very sleek. Very intelligent too.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. As for the crossbreeds, I've got a lab.
Yeah.
And I've got a German Shepherd Cross Whippet.
Yeah.
Now the German Shepherd Cross Whippet is actually small, and that was the first dog I bought, and I bought it from someone in Logie for a tenner. As for getting dogs for virtually next to nothing from a cat and dog home, no. It roughly costs you, I think the last time I went down there, anything from £75 to £100 for an animal.
Is that right?
Yeah, it can be a mongrel or it could be something good.
Oh, I didn't realise that. Okay, Rick. Right. Okay. Yes. Listen, I've got somebody else. I've got Councillor Cormie. Not on his councillor job, but with his passion for dogs coming up next. Quickly, the Union Terrace Gardens.
Right, Union Terrace Gardens, I am absolutely disgusted. You know, they've just done what they said they were going to do from the word go. Whether people had voted yes or no, the council has said, yeah, we're going ahead with it anyway. Okay, for times ahead, you know, things have got to change. For future generations, yeah, okay. But at the moment, you know, still a lot of people are going down there. You know, mature people, families, you know, kids like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're actually going to spoil it, you know, really. I would just also quickly like to say, I know Sir Ian Woods put £50 million into this out of his own pocket, but Aberdeen City Council, are they going to have to find extra money to actually fund this or what? Because Aberdeen City Council at the moment are in the red with their financial finances.
Yeah.
And they're building houses here, there and everywhere.
Yeah.
So I just don't understand what the heck Aberdeen City Council is doing, you know.
Yeah.
It just knocks the wind out of my sails, really.
But the thing is, you were active in the preamble to this, and you're very clear in the opinion that you're putting forward. But the referendum has happened, and it is something that is going to have to go forward now, isn't it? Based on that vote, yeah.
I mean, it's the same as toilets in Aberdeen. There's not much toilets left in Aberdeen. When you go to them, you've got a pay to get in them. Some of them are clean, some are totally disgusting. And I can tell you, one, it sits in...
No, I haven't had my breakfast yet.
It sits in Steen Street.
Okay.
And sometimes it's an automatic toilet. Sometimes you can't even get in there, you know, if you're busting. So, you know, and some pubs may let you use them, some pubs don't. So, you know, I'd seriously get a council to think, you know, do something with toilets.
Okay.
Hey, make it
Rick,
better.
I'm chuckling at you, but not. I'm just chuckling at your turn of phrase. Okay.
I know.
Point taken. Okay, Rick, thanks very much for the dogs and Union Terrace Gardens. Councillor Cormie, how are you?
Very well, Cormie, yourself.
I'm okay. I'm trusting this is about your love for dogs, yeah?
Well, that's right.
Come on, then.
Well, as you well know, way back when I was out in the Giri, the same place as you, I was well into dogs, working and showing.
You had working dogs and show dogs, yeah? You had good dogs.
Springer Spaniels.
Yes. That was your forte. Yeah.
Third of Crofts, 1977.
Yeah.
Where all this originated from was crossing the Labrador along with a poodle.
Yeah.
Because of the casting of hair. There was no casting of hair from the poodle, you see. And the blind dogs, the guide dogs for the blind uses the Labradoodle. But the things went to the extreme. They started crossing Cockapoos, which a cockapoo.
A cockapoo.
A cocker spaniel and a poodle. I think the worst one that I ever came across.
If you get me hauled off the area.
Charles Peak. Now that was a King Charles with a Pekingese.
A Charles Peak.
And these dogs, you know, as that lady was saying earlier on, they're selling for 350, 400 quid. And you're really mixing the worst traits of both breeds in together. And the deformities, you know, it's bad enough in Alsatians with hip dysplasia, Labrador sadly now, PRA in the eye, and all the different bad traits. You really have got to watch what you're doing when you're crossing these dogs. And that lady is quite right. And the people it's crossing these dogs and giving them these fancy names, Cockapoos, Charles Peaks, Jackapoos, Labradoodles, Dal. That was another bad one, the Dalmatian. Now, that was a cross between a Dalmatian and an Alsatian.
Tell me about
it. Now, that's two bad traits, that. You've got hip dysplasia in the Alsatian, and you've got the blindness and deafness in the Dalmatian. Now, crossing that two together is just an absolute disaster. Then, of course, as everybody knows in the communities, what we're seeing now is the once lovely stuffy, the Staffordshire Bull Terrier, is a great family dog. They are being crossed with these bull terriers or anything in sight. And, you know, the guys in the street who are...
Yeah.
Not very kind of dogs, I would say, going about with these things. And, if you know, an attack on a child with the power that some of these dogs have got is just building up for disaster.
And it always concerns me that if you interfere with nature, nature's going to, if you pardon the phrase, bite you in the bum somewhere along the line. Because, I mean, as you know, I mean, Dad was... into dogs, yep. same style as you, but we had horses, and you know, some of the Shetland ponies that we bred, some people were breeding Shetland ponies to miniature sizes, and okay, you know, if it was done in a proper organized way, you can maneuver nature to a degree, because nature does that itself, but you can't just sort of cross nature totally, can you?
Well, I mean, you're quite right. I mean, same with these miniature little pig things that folk are buying in the house. They're turning into bigger things now. Eddie Johnson used to sell it at Keith Hall, you know.
Why would you want a pot-bellied pig in your house?
Well, they fell into fashion, sadly, for a while. But, you know, thankfully they went out of fashion.
I'm really concerned here, Bill, because Grant's got his head down. I'm just concerned he might have a pet... You don't have a pet... pot-bellied pig, do you?
No, I don't know.
No, that's okay, that's good, that's reassuring. Okay, Bill, but basically, okay. What we're saying is, this is dogs, and I would suggest this is not what you would call dog breeders breeding them, this is people just taking them in order to get visual traits, like, you know, not casting hair and things like this.
Well, initially it did start with any of the casting hair, but it's went to the extreme now, and folk are out for a quick buck, And as that lady said, it's all wrong. They're mixing bad traits with deformities that a breed is trying to breed out with another one who's got another deformity, and the two just don't go together. You're actually turning out with a dog with both types of deformity and whatever they're calling them.
Just before you go, you were a Crufts, yeah?
Yeah.
Now, the Labradoodles is obviously a constructed breed.
It's not recognised by the kennel club.
So these breeds are not recognised as breeds by the kennel club.
The Labradoodle was really tampered with by the guide dogs for the blind for a start, for folk that was allergic to the casting dog hair. And that worked out to a certain degree, but they've been very, very meticulous in how if there was a need for a blind person with an allergy.
Yes, okay. Right, that has to be emphasized. Well, thank you very much for that.
Good to speak to you again.
All the best to you.
Cheers.
Raymond Clunis, how are you, sir?
Not very well, Colin.
Welcome to Talkin'. You're well?
Yeah, I'm quite well.
You're sounding good. Come on. Yeah.
Okay, it's just a couple of little things here. It's about the Union Terrace Gardens, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was adverts on the radio and the papers as well, saying that it won't cost the taxpayers anything if it goes ahead. If it goes ahead, right?
Yeah.
So it's going ahead, just.
Yes.
And I'm quite ashamed that people didn't vote. Last time, too.
Yeah.
And I just heard that the council are getting a loan from the Scottish Government.
I think this is based on the TIF, which is... This TIF thing, I believe, is taxes taken from designated area... and which, instead of going to the central government, is retained by Aberdeen in order to use to fund the project, or a project, or any project along this line. If they get permission to do this, the TIF is taxes that, instead of going directly to the government, are channeled into the local government, and they are used on specific projects. And I think that's how it is going to be done, I think.
Yes. What it is the advert in the papers and in the radio and television office, that the actual people of Aberdeen wouldn't be paying for it.
Uh-huh.
So who is paying the taxes
Point taken. But those taxes, in defence of the argument, those taxes would have been paid anyway. And they would have gone to central government, but they're just being diverted from central government. I believe, Raymond, but again, you know, this is the sort of thing it'll come out, because there is now a timetable for this, and there's a stated timetable whereby all this will be put into place. For example, this autumn, the design will be produced late autumn. A public consultation begins on the draft plans, and then 2013, forming planning applications submitted to the council, and in 2015, a construction starts if plans are approved, and in the summer 2017, completion. So there's a lot of things to be, and as Sir Ian Wood said, there's a lot of things to be overcome and to be finalised yet. So I'm sure all that will come out in the wash as well. Yeah,
I can just see it coming. Parking fees will go up, fines will go up, council tax will go up. Somebody's got to pay for it, and it'll finish. You notice that they said you keep on putting this democracy.
Yeah.
Well, the single thing that messed up with democracy is the second C in democracy. That should have been a Z.
Mm-hmm.
So it's democracy crazy.
Okay.
Right, just a little thing here, just before we go.
Go on.
The thing about Donald Trump, he slagged off Alex Haaland.
Yes.
About the wind farms and that, mate.
Yes, uh-huh.
Well, what he should go back to America, keep his money, keep his golf club, and his threats.
Uh-huh.
Because it'll take more than one cocky millionaire American to sort out the people for Scotland. That's all I've got to say.
Okay, Raymond, you've said it. Me. Thank you, chum.
Okay, bye.
Take it easy. On the lines, we're talking about more dogs. Sarah, hello.
Hello, good morning, Cammy. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Oh, not bad. Nice to hear you back again.
Thank you very much.
I'm actually talking about dogs.
Yes.
Loving the dogs. Really love dogs. But the only thing is, you know what's really getting up my goat just now?
Mm-hmm.
Is all these pit bull terriers and things like that.
Uh-huh.
That bull mastiffs.
Uh-huh.
these people, there's certain people have got.
Yes.
And I don't know if they have them, if they're giving them the love that they should be getting. And I think there's a lot of fighting and things like that going on with these dogs. And why can we not have the dog license back again? I mean, it should be trusted owners that have dogs and things like that. Not everybody should be able to get a dog willy-nilly nowadays.
Yeah.
And that would save, you know, these unwanted dogs and things. Sorry, it's really got my gander up. I'm sorry about
no,
this.
No, that's what the show's about. If you've got your gander up, you come and speak to me. Because I'm looking for people's ganders. I really am.
Do you know why it was actually taken away in the first place?
Well, it's funny you should say that, because the dog licence, I can honestly say, is something I know nothing about. Absolutely diddly. But I do know that there used to be dog licences that you had.
Yeah.
And that, but that was a long time ago, wasn't it?
It was, but they should bring it back again.
Uh-huh. But the thing you have to remember is, you know, you're saying certain dogs with certain types of people and things. You know, there's an awful lot of people who have these dogs and you know, they love their dog just the same way as anybody else loves their particular dog. But,
yeah,
you know, a lot of these dogs are popular breeds and they are popular with people. I think what you're referring to maybe is these dog fighting circles that are developing and have been reported. And I'm afraid... I mean, my own personal opinion on these things, I find them quite dangerous and abhorrent, you know?
Exactly. So that's why I'm saying not everybody can afford these, or they would want to actually go out and get these dog licenses.
Yes.
And if they can get a dog, just no problem, just off the street. Oh, talking about that as well. Sorry, homeless people as well that have dogs.
Uh-huh.
How can they fend? They can't fend for themselves. How can they have dogs as well? You know what I mean? Sorry, maybe they do love their dogs. That I should say, they do love their dogs, these homeless people, but how can they feed the dogs and things like that? That's another thing that worries me about, you know? I don't know. I could be entirely wrong. But
again, you have to temper it with the fact that, you know, many people have dogs for companionship.
Yeah.
Many people have dogs as aids. Many people have dogs because they just want a dog. And many people have dogs because they have working dogs, you know. And I mean, the dog license thing and people looking after their dogs. There are agencies that now do pursue people. And I remember years ago they were pursuing these breeding farms. And there are people who are being, you know, pursue these dog fighting rings. And you know, and there are people who are taken to task for not looking after animals properly, you know? So, I mean, it does happen, but...
All I'm saying is bring back the dog licence.
I must do a bit of research on that. And if anybody knows about the dog licence, I'd welcome their phone call, because I do know that there was dog licences, and I really don't know why it stopped happening. I really don't know enough about it, but we will look into that for you, Sarah, okay?
Thank you very much. Oh, and hooray for us getting the new Union Terrace Gardens. I think it's brilliant.
You approve?
I really do. I'm probably in the minority, but, well, no, I'm not in the minority, because majority of us voted yes, but I think there's got to be something done.
Well, there you go.
That Rick said, oh, but people go down with their family and things. When last was he down?
Well,
has he been down recently?
Well, I think he has, actually, but we'll ask him next time he comes on. Okay, Sarah.
Okay
there we go.
Bye.
Opinions abound. 01224 401035. It's a talk-in. We're nearly out of time. I would like to know about this dog licence just before we go. After the break, some good news in the city and shire.
North Sound 2. Listen again.
Welcome to Talkin'. In the last section, we've got some good news to tell you about. It always seems to be that we have confrontational things and people being upset, but sometimes there's good things. For example, Emily Sandy is North Sound's favourite artist and she has gone platinum. Her album has gone platinum with sales in the UK, which is a wonderful thing. The other thing is, for those of a certain age, they will recall the name John Peel. John Peel, a DJ of great renown. If anybody that works in this industry knows a DJ, they will know John Peel. Great presenter both on the radio and he did some television work and he sadly passed away very, 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 very quickly, actually. Just heart attack and bump. That was him gone, which was, I suppose, the way he would have wanted it because he was a unique personality. In a new broadcasting house, they are going to name a complete wing after the man himself. It's going to be called the John Peel Wing. There you go now. And a grandfather of radio presenters, he's getting his own wing in the broadcasting house as an acknowledgement as to his contribution to broadcasting. Now, you may hear the paper going. I'm also looking for a little item that I picked up on about the Seaton Community Project. The Seaton Community Project have got an after-school area. Damn it, can't find it. Never mind. You never find the bits of paper when you're looking for them, can you? They have got an after-school club in which was going to be in jeopardy because of funding. However, it was saved by donations of Grampian Police Board Community Initiative, who have stepped in to fund the project for another year, which allows the project to go ahead. And this is a situation where after school, the kids can go down to this project and they have various things they can do. They can, I'm sure, do homework things. They can do occupational things. They can play with each other. And it basically gives them a bit of purpose after school before they go home if their folks are out working. So well done to Seaton Community Project. We've been in touch with a few of the people down there over the years and it's a very worthwhile thing. Well done to them. As far as that goes, we are in a situation where we are looking at the dog licence. Now, the dog licence, apparently, I have a note here, says was impossible to police, and I can understand that, but this was off the back of Sarah asking why, what happened to the dog licence, but I suppose be a very difficult thing to police and a thing, you know. And did you have something in text on that?
Yeah, a couple of texts about that. And actually, Bossman Gary has been in touch, sending us a great website. If you want to check out designer dogs and all the breeds and stuff like we mentioned earlier on, it's designerdoggies.com. And it's a lovely, lovely thing on there. You can fashion accessory your dog. We've got fashionable baskets. We've got jackets.
Is this a good thing that we want people to know that our boss... Oh, bless him. Well, at least he's helping. That's good to know.
And finally on the text, Alison says, my dog Russell is a designer dog. Surely it's okay to spoil him lots. And Jane Henry's been in touch. I agree with the caller that the council need to sort out the public toilet situation. That was Rick earlier on.
Yes, yes, I could see. He did comment when he was bursting. Which I thought was, you know, that's
what nice we bit of additional information.
Yes, but that's what we say up here, you know? It's very explicit. As far as Union Terrace Garden goes, thanks everybody called on that. We also had the Western Peripheral Route, which, well, it seems to be, it's on its way. And as far as Union Terrace Gardens, it's on its way. A big week in Aberdeen, but we still had time for designer dogs. It's a talk-in on North Sound 2. We're back again next Sunday from Grant.
11 a.m.
We'll be back then. And also from Alan, who's doing the phones. Thanks very much for joining us. Look forward to your company next week.
Listen again to what you've missed and access exclusive online-only content at northsound2.com.